punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Gorgeous day out there. 84 degrees. Heat index is 86. Humidity is 51%. The winds are out of the west, northwest, 3 miles an hour with major gusts up to 6 miles an hour. Anyway, let's take a quick look at what's going on around the state temperature-wise and out in the Texas Panhandle. Looks like Hobart, you're at 87. Hollis, you're at 87. Mangum's at 87. And looks like the hot spot in the state is up north at Freedom. Buffalo, you're 89. Slapout, you're 86. Woodward's at 88. Cool spot is Cheyenne and Arnett. You guys coming in at a whopping 84 degrees. And Canadian, Wheeler, and Shamrock, you're right in there in the mid-80s. So, anyway, looks very nice out there today. I'll have your long ranger forecast brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden coming up here pretty shortly. Well, let's check out what's happening with the grain markets. Looks like everything, including oil and natural gas, everything's in the red except for maybe feeder cattle. So let's check it out. September corn futures, $6.64 a bushel. December, $6.55. March, $6.61. May, $6.62. Soybeans, September, $15.65 a bushel. November, $14.44. January, $14.48. March is $14.48 also. Soybean meal, September, $4.60 a short ton. October, $4.80. December's $4.20. Soybean oil, September, 68.50 cents per pound. October is 66.52 cents a pound. And December is 66.73 cents a pound. And they got, what do we got here? Hard red winter wheat, September, $8.87. Hard red winter wheat for December is $8.82. Oats, September $4.20 a bushel. December $4.12 a bushel. Scroll on down here to cotton. CME cotton number two is October is $1.17 a pound, and December is $1.14 a pound. Let's check out what's happening on cash grain prices at the elevators right now in Oklahoma and in Texas. Looks like hard red winter wheat is $8.22, down about 15. Corn September is $7.36, it's down 4.6. Milo $6.66 a bushel, down 4.6 also. Soybeans for no cash grain is $14.74 a bushel, and it's down 18 today. Well, let's see what's causing all the chaos in the markets today. There's something different every day. I want to see what the excuse is today. Corn futures were higher while soybeans were lower as the Pro Farmers Crop Tour rolled into Iowa and Illinois, the biggest producers of corn and soybeans in the United States. And it looks like it was showing some mixed results. In northwestern Iowa, corn fields were forecast by tour participants 181.1 bushels an acre. That's down from 184 bushels an acre last year, and it's below the three-year average of 183.4 bushels an acre, according to Pro Farmer. In west central Iowa, yields were pegged at 180.8 bushels an acre this year. That's down from 201.1 bushels a year earlier, and missing the average by 8 bushels an acre of 188.7 for the last three-year average. In southwestern Iowa, yields were estimated at 173.7 bushels an acre. That's down 10% year over year and 7.5% from the three-year average. In Illinois, meanwhile, tour scouts project yields of 190.7 bushels an acre. That's down from 196.3 bushels a year earlier, but up from the average of 185.6. Soybeans were more of a mixed bag. Pod counts in a 3x3 square in northwestern Iowa was reported at 1,089.7 pods. Little change from last year, but up a couple percent from the average. West central Iowa pod counts were up 2.8% from last year to 1,258.9 in a 3x3 square. That was almost up 5% from the three-year average also. In southwestern Iowa, pod counts plunged more than 10% to 1,223.9 pods per 3x3 square. That's dropping 2.2% from the average. Illinois soybean pod counts were mixed, falling 2.4% from the 2021 estimate of 1,249.7 pods per 3x3 square. The count, however, was up 6.4% from the average. Reports from the fields in Iowa and Illinois showed some areas of extremely good-looking crops and areas with some tip-back in corn and dry conditions in some areas. Corn futures for December delivery rose 5.75 cents to $6.63 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soybean futures for November delivery were down to 1 penny to $14.56 a bushel. Soy meal was down $2.80 to $426.50 a short ton, while soybean oil futures lost 0.05 cents to $0.6593 a pound. Wheat for December delivery fell 6.25 cents to $8.07 a bushel at the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures declined 3 pennies to $8.90 a bushel. Well, Thursdays are all about ethanol production. Specs I get in every Thursday. Ethanol production rose slightly in the week that ended on August 19th, while inventories increased to the highest level in more than 3 months, according to data from the EIA, which is the Energy Information Administration. Output rose to 987,000 barrels a day on the average, and that's from 983,000 last week. In the Midwest, by far the biggest producing region, output rose nearly to an average of 928,000 barrels a day. That's up 2,000 barrels a day from the week earlier. Gulf Coast producers pushed out 24,000 barrels a day, and that's up 1,000 from last week. Rocky Mountain production increased to 14,000 barrels, and that's up 1,000 barrels a week from a week earlier. That was the entirety of the gains. At the East Coast, production was unchanged. Again, 12,000 barrels a day on the East Coast, and West Coast output remained at 9,000 barrels a day. Ethanol stockpiles, meanwhile, increased to 23.807 million barrels in the week through August 19. That's up a little bit from 23.446 million barrels a week earlier, and the highest inventory level since 7 days it ended on May the 6th. Strong storms are possible in parts of northern Nebraska later this afternoon or evening, according to the National Weather Service. The biggest threat for severe weather is damage is from strong winds. In eastern Iowa and northern Illinois, storms are also possible today, mostly along the east of the Mississippi River. Thunderstorm chances increase this weekend, especially on Sunday, and could linger into Monday. Lightning and local heavy rain appear to be the main streaks, and that may be happening Midwest all the way down Southern Plains. Because what I've seen, chances of rain move in Saturday here and continue through all next week, which is great. And I told you guys last week when we looked like we were going to get some rain last weekend, somebody was going to be firing up the wheat drills this week. Sure enough, I've been getting reports that guys are sowing. I followed one of my old buddies, Mr. Danny, down the road going to Sayre today, down 283, and he had a load of wheat on the back of his with the auger sticking out, so you know what that means. So anyway, good luck with that, guys, and get after it. trying to get some of that early wheat pasture going. So I'm sure a lot of other people are thinking about it too. People are getting their seed clean and whole nine yards. So good luck with all that progress. One other thing I want to talk about. Next segment, we're going to go through the cattle futures and talk about the prices from the Hobart Stockyards yesterday. Woodward is having their calf sale as we speak right now. Elk City Livestock Auction will be happening tomorrow. Hollis Saturday, and then we'll be back over there east of Clinton Monday with the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction going on. Hobart will be having their sheep and goat sale. Let me look at this real quick. Make sure I don't say the wrong date because I don't have a calendar in front of me. We got, yes. So since the first Saturday of September is going to be falling on Labor Day, they've moved the sale, the sheep and goat sale, to September 10th. So write that down on your calendar. September 10th will be the Hobart Stockyard sheep and goat sale. And due to the holiday on Labor Day. Well, when I come back, we'll talk about cattle futures and what happened at Hobart yesterday and continue on with Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
And we've seen it in our own operation, and we've heard other people tell it too. You go out when it's 105 degrees outside, and you look around, and the black cows are standing in the pond or in the shade trees, and the red cows are out grazing. The red hide color, the cow's going to stand out and eat during the heat of the day. She's not going to be laying into the shade tree and be up eating all night or not putting on weight. When it's been raining and the grass is 3 foot tall, they're going to be out eating all day long. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Right now, hay coverage is a big deal. You know, price of hay right now is very expensive. The ability to get hay right now, and when people get their hands on it, it's probably one of the most expensive assets that they have in their operation right now. And we can insure that hay for fire. I know there's been a lot of wildfires and people have a concern for that. And then if you're an existing customer with us and you have a farm and ranch policy, you know, people need to understand that's not something that's automatically included. They would need to call and let our office know what coverage they need for their hay, and we can add that onto their farm and ranch policy. We can insure hay on a standalone policy, which is something that maybe some others don't offer. Even if you don't have business with us currently, we can write hay insurance.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
According to the Gabe Gadget here in our studio, we have 87.6 degrees, humidity's at 39, and basically zero wind here at the studio. And at the Mezzanette Center out by Elk City, we have 87 and 87 for a heat index, and the winds are basically zero, and humidity is 42. And I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you here towards the end of the show. Anyway, well, let's check out what the cattle futures were doing. Let me get back over to it. I meant to do that during the break, and I didn't do it. I was messing with something. Anyway, live cattle for August, 141.30. October, 143.60. December, 149.90. February, 154.70. August, 181.87. For feeder cattle, September, 184.07. Lean hogs, October, 90.90. December, 82.47. And February is $85.95, and that's for your lean hogs. All right, let's check out what happened at Hobart, see if the trend is still going, and I think it is. All right, I don't know how many head he had there yesterday, but on steers, they had some, the 200 to 300 pounders were averaging 263, high was 218, average on them was 184 per hundredweight. 300 to 400 weights, average 363, we're bringing up to 225, 214 was the average. 400 to 500 weights, 444 was the average weight. They were bringing anywhere from 197 to 202, with a little over $200 per hundred weight, the average going price. 5 to 6 weights, 565 was the average, and they looked like they were bringing up to 188. 6 to 7 weights, 630 was the average weight. Looks like they were bringing up to 163. 7 to 8 weights on the steers was bringing up to 162 per hundred weight. And 739 was the average weight. On the heifers, the 200 to 300 pounders were bringing up to $1.58. And then we had some 300 to 400 weights was bringing up to $1.90. 4 to 5 weight heifers were bringing up to $1.83. 5 to 6 weight heifers were bringing up to $1.59. And the 6 to 7 weight heifers were bringing up to $1.60. And then they had some, the average looked like $7.43, brought $1.47 on the heifers. And let's see here, cows bringing up to $91.50 per hundred weight. And the bulls, slaughter bulls, bringing $112 even. So anyway, looks like it's still up there, looking good. Well, I found this article on the AngusBeefBulletin.com, and it was pretty interesting because it does a comparison with what happened back in 2010 and 2011. So listen up here. It is no secret that slaughter cow numbers have been elevated this year, but the rate at which it's happening has been puzzling. Higher input costs in the form of hay, pasture, rent, fuel, etc., particularly caused by general economic inflation, low stock-to-use ratios in corn and soybeans, and high crude oil prices, have raised the cost of production. Add to that a worsening drought. Several years of low feeder cattle prices and cull cow prices not have been seen since 2014-2015, pulled up by a high cow cull cutout value, and there was a certainty with plenty of incentives to sell cows. The long-term question is where this leaves the calf crop in 2023 and the beef production in 2024 in 2025. The broader economy is getting a feel for what the cattle industry goes through every 10 years or so. And inflation creeps up, the Federal Reserve can affect it by changing the amount of money in circulation and through interest rates. The Federal Reserve has already raised the interest rate this year by more than 1.5%, and more rate hikes are likely coming. Although the general effect of these rate hikes this year takes time for them to work through the general economy to curb inflation. In other words, it takes time for the effects to show. That's the science theory. The art is knowing how much to raise rates so as not to cause the economy to completely grind to a halt, but to raise them enough to curb inflation growth. The cattle cycle works similarly, and although it's a less centralized fashion, each industry participant makes a culling decision. Then collectively, we get a reduction in cows and thus future beef production. That's the science theory. The art is trying to determine the optimal number of cows to cull to hopefully time market reversals and benefit from price movements seen in 2014 and 2015. That is certainly a tall task. Looking at the relationship between cow slaughter prices and prices can tell us something about both the current position and the temporary dynamics. Several academic studies have attempted to model this, and there are several working papers to build on these models. Here's more a descriptive approach to what the magnitudes and movements could be over the next several years. In all, as it all outlooks, there are lots of assumptions. There is a clear negative relationship between cull cow prices and cull slaughter. Prices are high when the slaughter is low and vice versa. On average, cull cow prices have been $98 per hundredweight. That's in 2021 dollars, and decreased to approximately $1.18 per hundredweight per pound. For every additional 1,000 head slaughtered, the cow slaughter to cow price ratio in 2022 year to date have been similar in 1996 and in 2010 and 2011. These corresponds to the periods of drought, most notably the drought that occurred from 2010 to 2013. As we finish up here with this story, as the drought worsened between 2010 and 13, cull cow prices began to rise as there were fewer cull cows on the market. This dynamic continued, peaking in 2014 and ultimately normalizing back to the pre-drought prices in 2017. By some accounts, the current drought has been ongoing for approximately 2 years, but it has been mostly felt badly here in Texas and Oklahoma in the past year. So what could we expect from a weekly average slaughter in cow-calf prices if the market follows a similar pattern, which is the magnitude and the direction, as the previous drought? The first assumption is where we are in the drought cycle. If we believe it is just starting, then we should see average culling continue to rise during all the way through 2023. To approximately 24,000 head a week at $92 per CWT. Peak prices should be $140 in 2026, according to the science. What is more probable in the industry is that either it's going to last or second to last year. That's what we're in 2022 compared to 2012. Given the weather forecast, the La Nina is softening and heading towards a more neutral pattern at the end of this year. That would put the industry at somewhere in the $100 per CWT range in 23 and in 2024, with an average slaughter of 16,000 to 18,000 head per week. So anyway, when we come back, we'll talk some more about cattle and some farming and see what's going on with alfalfa, corn, milo, cotton, all kinds of stuff all over Oklahoma. I got a report on that. We'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. It's heavier steel. They're built better. They're tough. They've got rubber flooring, every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer. They're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18 ply. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246. 303-4246.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle shooter hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
89 degrees here at the Elk City Mezzanette, 88.3 on the Gabe Gadget. Heat index is at 90 degrees, humidity's at 42, the winds are now out of the south-southeast at 4 miles an hour with some wind gust up to 10, so the wind is switching. Looks like we'll get up to 91 degrees today, mostly sunny. So anyway, when we come back after the next break, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you. Also, I had some requests, so I'm going to do it again. And then I called down there and talked to Miss Whitney down at Greer County, and she confirmed same thing for Greer County. So check with your other counties. What I'm getting ready to read you is for Beckham and Greer County from the FSA office. Please check with your counties for any updates on that, because they vary from one county to the next. All right, coming up, you got some deadlines. Very important information here. August 31st, which guess what, is next Wednesday, your NAP's due. Deadline to purchase small grain coverage, wheat, rye, Truticow, for your fall crops. August 31st, CRP hay must be in a windrow if signed up for emergency haying. September 5th, the offices will be closed, and I can vouch for all counties on this one since this is government agencies. September 5th, every county in the listening area is going to be closed. I can vouch for that one for sure. I'm not lying. It's not fake news. Anyway, September 15th, CRP hay must be out of your field for if you did the emergency deal. September 30th, all livestock must be removed from CRP. January 30th, LFP and ELAP deadlines. That's coming up next year. I'll keep you up to date on that one. All right, so this is Beckham County, and I know she told me down at Mangum that they're waiting on about 15 people to finish up on theirs, but I think Beckham County's already did on the livestock forage program. Don't call them to sign up again today if you're already in the program. You know, it's not going to happen again until next year. So anyway, just if you haven't signed up down in Greer County, they're looking for you. There's 15 of you. If you know who you are, they know who you are. Go get signed up. It's a good program. Okay, ELAP for water hauling. If you have an existing pond or water well go dry because of the drought and are currently hauling water to your livestock on that farm, we may have a program that will help you. Please call, don't go by, please call their office for more information on this program. You must contact us within 30 days of when you first hauled water. ELAP for purchasing feed outside of the area where you normally get your feed. If you happen to travel farther than normal to purchase feed for your livestock, please give the office a call. We may have a program to help you. You will be required to show proof of where you purchased your hay in a normal year or show that you produced your own hay. You must be going more than 25 miles further than normal. You must contact us within 30 days of when you hauled the hay. So there you go. But the most important thing that Brian, and I'm sure Whitney will agree with this, is they're not keeping your records. You got to keep your own records. So anyway, it's time of the year changes. Just please keep your cattle records the same, how much hay you made, what your production is. It saves them a lot of time. So please keep accurate records of what you got going on, and it'll help them out a lot. All right, let's move on with the show. In Oklahoma, farmers face uncertainty with harvest is approaching for Oklahoma summer crops, and fields are either looking really good or really bad with no middle ground, according to the Oklahoma State University Extension Crop Specialist. Overall, yields for crops such as corn, soybeans, milo, and cotton are projected to be lower statewide. Even the crops that look good probably don't look as good as they normally do. According to Josh Laughlin, OSU Extension Specialist for Cropping Systems, we've always had this heat in July, but this has been a long period to be over 100 degrees and expect crops to be able to come out of it positively on the back end. Corn, for example. For cornfields, Laughlin said the biggest problem was the heat wave during the pollination. Some of the corn in the state tasseled right before the big heat wave, and that corn is probably okay. But some corn tasseled during the heat wave, and that left us with whole cobs of corn that have very few kernels on them. A lot of Oklahoma corn, especially dryland corn outside the panhandle area, has been repurposed for animal feed. They've been either cutting it for silage, or rumors have it, I know some guys up north, towards north central, are actually putting it up for hay. Hay and animal feed stocks are low, so it's good to have something, especially for folks who have cattle. It's just unfortunate that we are having to sacrifice corn crops to get that. I know more people not taking corn to yield than previous years. We might have a short harvest season due to the total number of acres being taken for grain being significantly down. Milo and soybeans. The story for milo and soybeans, pretty much the same. Crops like soybeans are very independent. They had to break in the line there. So just as easily it can look bad. We can get a good rainfall and some cooler temperatures, and it can still finish out. He cautioned producers on haying out crops too soon, but also waiting too long. Don't pull the trigger on haying out a crop, especially soybeans, before you are sure that the bulk yield has been lost, because soybeans can surprise you. But in saying that, the inherent risk is you don't know when it will freeze for the first time. We're about 8, 9, 10 weeks away from it, if I'm guessing right, if everything's normal, but this year has been nothing but abnormal. If producers wait too long to give their crops the opportunity to mature, they could lose their crops anyway in an early frost. We're behind on soybeans. You should be filling pods pretty quickly by now. And a majority of the people I've heard from saying the pods are set, but the seeds and pods are very small and don't seem to be growing. Laughlin said that's a big concern. Making hay out of the soybeans may be more worth it to the grower than risk waiting to see if their soybeans will mature. Alfalfa. Alex Rokela, I hope I said that right, OSU Extension Forest Systems Specialist, said that this is the hottest and driest year he's experienced in his 7 years in Oklahoma. Right now, alfalfa crops are going into dormancy, meaning the plant is now not growing anymore and it's flowering. If you see your alfalfa has been stunted, flowered, and is less than 6 inches of growth, do nothing. Just let it be. As soon as the rainfall does return, like it did last weekend, new growth is going to come from the bottom part of the plant. And I'll tell you what, I seen some sorghum that was, you could hardly see any green in the field last week. And I noticed this morning driving through Sayre, north of Sayre, and back towards Elk City, those sorghum fields that they'd swathed and baled already, looks like it's already a foot tall. When the new plant's growth reaches about 10% bloom, producers can consider harvesting. On the other hand, some producers started to experience drought when alfalfa was in the advanced vegetative growth, meaning that it had high plant stands and was close to flowering. In these circumstances, I would say let the plant get in at least halfway bloom, preferably 100% bloom. That way producers can count on some regrowth. He also said it does not make sense for producers to cut a high stand of 6 inches or above because the parts of the plant that will be left in the field are deteriorating and new leaves are not growing. Make sure you have a minimal transplanting if you opt to graze. A drought dormant alfalfa stand at Last Forage Resort. He says, do not graze lower than 6 inches to keep a minimum amount of leaves there for the alfalfa to continue doing minimal photosynthesis to resist the drought. He also said the alfalfa growing season is only halfway complete right now, which I think it's a little more than halfway complete. So the drought does not mean producers won't get any more forage from the crops. We just need to hope for more rain and wait for 4 weeks after the rain, and alfalfa could really catch up with its growth. You could at least have two cuts more this season. Eh, maybe. Depends on how warm the temperatures are in September. Well, we get to cotton. With lake water not being released to Lugard Altus Irrigation District, producers in the southwest Oklahoma this summer, yields are likely to be low or probably failed. Typically irrigated and dryland cotton, according to Gary Strickland, Jackson County Director and Southwest Research and Extension Center Regional Agronomist. Strickland said that some cotton on the eastern side of the southwestern region and some under center pivot and drip irrigation systems where water is supplied by a well are faring way better and have the potential of making some good yields. However, a lot of cotton acreage has burnt plumb up in this drought. There's no question that the amount of cotton we produce in this area will be down from the previous years, Strickland said. There's been pockets where producers have been able to irrigate that may average some good harvests, but even with irrigation, temperatures have been so high during the day and evening hours, even irrigated fields have suffered. Strickland advised that producers considering planting wheat in the field with a failed cotton crop should take soil samples. He said most of these fields will have nutrients available from the fertilizer applied to the cotton because of the crop's limited growth. This can help save significantly a lot on your fall crop budget. Of course, on the other side of that is the thought is that we still need some rain to start planting wheat, Strickland said. Josh Prashan, Northwest Extension Agronomist Specialist with the many producers turn failed summer crops into hay. They need to test the hay's nitrate levels. Producers can work with their OSU Extension County offices to have hay samples tested through the soil, water, and forage laboratory. So there you go. Anyway, so it looks like it just, even though they was getting, like up north central Oklahoma, they were getting rain. But when you have 105 degree temperatures every day for 10, 15 days, and your corn's pollinating and whatever else is going on, it's also a failure too. So anyway, when we come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you, and we'll check out a few more things before the show ends. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
With spring planting wrapping up and early summer harvest now underway, have peace of mind knowing you can depend on Western Equipment, your local John Deere dealer, to keep you in the field and running efficiently. With over 100 fully equipped service trucks, we will meet you wherever you are, whenever you need us, with zero unexpected fees or surcharges to worry about. Also, don't forget about our $99 inspections available when bringing in multiple machines. Call your local Western Equipment location today and we'll have a truck headed your way.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, August 22nd. 1,015 head were sold, 14 head of steers at 369 brought 233, 10 at 440 brought 190, 18 at 608 brought 193, 8 at 700 brought 172, 6 at 755 brought 177, 5 head of heifers at 364 brought 185, 5 at 551 brought 156, 12 at 696 brought 176.25, 8 at 936 brought 140.
47. 35 at 721 brought 172.50. Butcher cows were 41 to 92.50. Butcher bulls brought 79.50 to 120. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sell every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, August 19th. 2,553 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 270 brought 221. 7 at 453 brought 193. 6 at 548 brought 185. 5 at 686 brought 151. 6 at 836 brought 165.50. 3 head of heifers at 318 brought 181. 5 at 406 brought 185. 13 at 489 brought 176. 6 at 552 brought 168. 8 at 771 brought 155.50. Butcher cows were 20 to 93. Butcher bulls brought 52 to 117.50. Bred cows were 750 to 1225. Pairs brought 760 to 1500. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow, and watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. Just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
I like listening to that music. 88 degrees here at the Elk City Mezzanette. Let's check out some local temperatures before we give you the Long Ranger. Long Ranger is pretty much for everybody. Looks like temperatures for Western Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle are all in the 80s. Hot spot right now in Oklahoma is actually Mangum and Sealing at 91 degrees. Hobart, you're running a, or not Hobart, but Hollis, you're running a close second at 90 degrees. So anyway, there's just getting it going. Let me get over here to our forecast. Check out what's happening. Today, mostly sunny, 91 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear, 66. Tomorrow, 91, mostly sunny. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, 68 degrees. Saturday, we get a 20% chance of storms, 90 degrees for a high. Saturday night, our chances go up to 30% at 69. Sunday, our chances keep going up to 40% with 91 being the highest. Sunday night, 20% chance of thunderstorms with 69 being a low. And come Monday, first day of the work week, 30% chance of rain showers, 91 degrees for high. So there's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. It looks pretty good. Okay, where do we want to go from here? Oh, I want to get you... The text line is open at 580-225-9697. The Today in Ag text line, that is. Anyway, see if any of you guys have been doing any preg checking yet. So you guys remember back in May, these 25 heifers out here, or the second calf heifers coming for Mr. Alan Potter. Anyway, the first calf heifers, we bred them back, and the way we did it is we sunk them just like we were going to AI them and turn two bulls in on them. Last year, I turned the bulls in on them for 45 days. We had 5 open heifers total out of 32 that time. This year, we got 25, and we turned two bulls in for 60 days, and we preg checked a week ago today actually, and we had 2 open cows, which is pretty good, and they're going to the sale barn. If they're that young and they don't get bred within 60 days, they're out of here. So anyway, that was pretty much the story on that. So if you guys have preg checked yet, have you had more open cows than normal? Because according to all reports, with the drought going on and the high temperatures and stuff, there's a pretty good chance you're going to have more open cows this year. Heat stress has profound impacts on many biological processes that can lead to more poor reproductive rates. Prior to estrus, heat stress reduces growth, hormone production, and the egg. Combined, this reduces fertilization rates. Once fertilized, heat stress also reduces the growth of the newly formed embryo. This reduction in the growth of the embryo is likely the result of increased cell death or smallest CL that producers get. This reduced rate, growth rate, and increased embryo cell death leads to more embryos lost during the first week of gestation. Unfortunately, heat stress continues to impact embryonic growth through the first 21 days, which also increases the loss of these early pregnancy. So anyway, just letting you know that heat is a big factor on breeding, and we've learned that two or three times in the last 10 years with these crazy Mays being up in the 100 degrees, and that's one of the most May and April's more important times to be breeding for our spring calvers coming up. Well, some unexpected numbers was in new cattle on feed report. The USDA released their August cattle on feed report, and the new numbers show cattle and calves on feed for the slaughter market in the U.S. for feedlots with capacity of 1,000 or more head was at 11.2 million head on. August 1st, that's up from 1% compared to August 1st, and is the second highest August 1st inventory since the series begins in 1996. According to the story from Gary Crawford, the report managed to surprise some industry analysts. The report shows placements in feedlots during July total 1.77 million head, 2% above last year. Net placements was 1.71 million head during July. Placements of cattle and calves weighing less than 600 pounds were 410,000 head. 600 to 699 was 280,000 head. 700 to 800 pounds was 400,000 head. 800 to 900 pounds was 405,000. And 900 to 1,000 pounds was 195,000 head, and 1,000 pounds and greater was 75,000 head. Marketing on fed cattle during July totaled 1.83 million head, and that was 4% below what was last year. How about that? So anyway, a few quick stories going on here. Brazil is set to plant its biggest soybean crop to date as farmers in the world's largest supplier of the oilseed get ready to sow a larger area starting in September. In its first forecast for the next crop, Brazil's Food Supply and Statistics Agent, CONAB, said on Wednesday that the soy harvest will grow by 21% to a record of 150.36 million tons. Aside from an expected 3.54% area expansion to 42.4 million acres, or hectares, 104 million acres basically, said soy yields are likely to recover after a drought spoiled part of the old crop. The numbers underscored Brazil's prominent role as the large global grain supplier at the time where nations grapple with the food inflation and shortages due to the war in Ukraine, and farmers face higher fertilizer prices and pesticide costs. Despite the increase in production costs, the crop still has good profitability for the Brazilian farmer. The important variable now is climate. A rise in Brazil's soybean output will boost exports to an estimated 92 million tons, representing a 22.2% rise from last year. Farmers are also looking for a big corn crop of 125.5 million tons. Surprise potential growth in fields planted with second corn, which are sowed after soybeans are harvested. Brazil's second corn represents 70 to 75% of production in a given year, much of it sold on export markets in the second half, when Brazil competes with U.S. corn exporters in the global markets. Brazil could export 44.5 million tons of new corn, according to the record. The positive outlook for soy and corn production will boost Brazil's total grain crop to 308 million tons in the 2022-23 cycle, which is 14% above last year. So Brazil is clearing a lot of land if they're raising everything up. Well, some local news out in the Texas Panhandle here. The recent drought and inflation has been hitting cattle ranchers hard in 2022. Ranchers had to make the difficult decision to sell their cattle to combat the lack of grass for their cattle to graze and the rising cost of feed due to inflation. This issue impacted local businesses also, and is expected to impact the customers too. This has been a strange year. Of my four main suppliers, it seemed like every week one of them is out of something that I could buy, according to Brett Thompson, director of operations at the Lelino Estado Cattle. Cattle are, that are solely used for reproduction are being sold to the market at an increased rate. When these cattle go, when they're fed out and show up here, sold as meat, those are cattle that will not be reproducing a calf for the next 2 to 5 or 7 or 10 even 10 years. Dr. Chance Brooks, professor at the Texas Tech Department of Animal Food and Sciences, said the lack of cattle to reproduce can cause a ripple effect for customers for up to 2 to 3 years. And we touched on that earlier in the show. A female has to mature, then become old enough to reproduce, and then that's once they are bred. Then there's a long gestation period of 9 months, and then once the animal is born, there's even a longer period of time when the animal is basically fed for harvest. So if you start from the beginning and work your way through it all, it can be 2 to 3 years before you get one of their calves to the market to be fattened up to be butchered. Simpson said his business already has started to see the impact with price increases in the meat he buys and the lack of supplies available. We could be at some historic lows of cattle that we haven't seen since the 70s. Dr. Brooks said consumers can expect to see an increase in prices within the next few months and says it can cause a lasting effect up to a year. What happens is when supply is limited and prices going up, consumers begin to shift their demand to cheaper alternative foods, alternative proteins. We start seeing the wholesale market process change because supplies are getting tight. Simpson said the best thing to do is support local businesses during this time. Amen. Dang right, that's what we need to do. We need to support our local. We got people raising beef around here. Matter of fact, since he brought it up, if anybody's interested, I've got dropped four off at the Route 66 last week, and I have a quarter of a beef available, and you can text or call me at 580-821-6646 if you need some beef. It's gonna be a long cold winter. You need some really good beef, and I can promise you my beef is the best west of Mississippi, and the only way that you can prove it ain't is you gotta buy it. So if you're interested in the beef, I got some. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Have a great day. God bless.